Hi everyone, thanks for sticking it out until the end of the day. Very impressed with all of you. So my name is Miriam Manone, I'm with the Food Trust based in Philadelphia. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about our work specifically around bringing grocery stores to neighborhoods that don't have them through a program called the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, and also our work with corner stores, getting healthier food into small stores across the country. I drank that water down the wrong pipe, so here we go. So first, just a little background on the Food Trust. We are a nonprofit based in Philadelphia, but we work across the country on bringing healthier food to neighborhoods that don't have it. We've been around for a little over 20 years. We started in 1992, and we do a range of work, from working in schools, doing nutrition education programming, running farmers markets. We run a network of over 30 farmers markets. We work with corner stores, supermarkets. We work on policy campaigns, both locally in Philadelphia and across the country. No disclosures. And we know that the food environment has a big impact on what you eat and on people's health. Much as you heard in the presentation on Louisville, many neighborhoods, also in Philadelphia, where I work, have many corner stores, fast food restaurants, and few healthy options. And we see the impact on residents. When I started out at the Food Trust about 9 years ago, I was actually working in the schools doing nutrition education. And I would see the kids come into school every day with bags of chips, chips and soda for breakfast from the corner store, because that was what was on their way to school. These same neighborhoods didn't always have any full service grocery stores, and few, if any, farmers markets. And the Food Trust, together with National Nonprofit Policy Link, did a review of literature on access to healthy food and the impact on health. And what we found is, after looking at over 200 studies, that the overwhelming body of research shows that there are both disparities in access and that there is a correlation between having good access to healthy food and people's diet and health outcomes. And I have some copies of that report today if anyone's interested in taking it with them. And it's also up on our website and on the Healthy Food Access portal. At the Food Trust, we led a partnered advocacy campaign starting back in the 90s to really try to address the lack of grocery stores in Philadelphia, where we're based. This was before food desert was sort of in the newspapers all the time and a popular term, and we really didn't know why all the supermarkets had left so many of the low-income neighborhoods in Philadelphia. And we heard that this was happening in other cities across the country, but we really wanted to look into the issue in our city and understand what we could do about it. So we started out by putting together a set of maps to look at where supermarkets were located, and we overlaid demographic data and also health data. And what we saw were pretty striking areas of red in the city that were low supermarket, low income, and also had high rates of diet-related death. And we used those maps to start to engage policymakers and public officials around the issue. And we were asked to bring together a task force to try to understand what could be done about the problem from a policy perspective. And we brought together a group of leaders from the grocery industry, economic development officials, public health leaders, government leaders, community leaders, a group that really hadn't ever been in the same room together, to really sit down and try to understand why grocery stores weren't in these neighborhoods and what could be done about it. And that task force came out with a set of recommendations, and one of the things that came up from the grocers was that there were barriers to opening stores in some of these areas, higher cost of doing business, higher development cost, and sometimes just a lack of access to financing to open these stores, and especially for the independent entrepreneurs and the independent grocers. And so we put the recommendation out to create a financing program to help bring grocery stores into underserved areas. And we were very fortunate to have a really strong champion in the legislature and a strong champion in the governor's office, then Governor Rendell. And we were able to get the state of Pennsylvania to invest $10 million in 2004 as part of a larger economic development package to seed a program called the Pennsylvania Fresh Food Financing Initiative. And this was really a first of its kind experiment in Pennsylvania to see if they could create a dedicated financing program, economic development program, specifically for grocery stores. And the program has been really successful. Ultimately, it funded 88 projects across the state that created 5,000 jobs and improved access to healthy food for almost 500,000 people in Pennsylvania. The state ultimately invested $30 million in the program, and you can see here one of the fresh grocer supermarkets that opened in Philadelphia. Actually, Michelle Obama came to the grand opening of that store. It was very exciting. And so just a little bit about how these programs work, because it's now a model that's been replicated in several states and cities. Without getting into the weeds of financing, basically the idea is that the program is run as a public-private partnership. So they're often seeded with government money, sometimes foundation money, but there's also private money that comes in. And then the funding is given as in the form of grants and loans to grocery store developers. Could be a range of types of projects. So full-service supermarkets, like in that fresh grocer photo, but also small mom-and-pop grocers, existing stores that want to renovate to offer fresh fruits and vegetables for the first time, but all stores in low-income and underserved communities. I've just highlighted here a couple of the other programs that have been created on a similar model, New Orleans, California, New Jersey, and there's more across the country that I will show in a map shortly. This is one of the maps of Philadelphia that we created as part of our advocacy campaigns. The red areas are those areas with low supermarket access, high rates of diet related death. And then the dots on the map, the yellow and orange dots, are grocery stores that have been funded through the program. So as you can see, we've done a significant work in Philadelphia at closing those gaps. Still work to be done. And just to give a sense of how this model has really spread across the country, in 2004, when Pennsylvania created the program, it was the only state that had one of these programs. By 2010, we'd done some work with partners in Illinois, in New York, New Jersey, and also in New Orleans, and all of those places then had created these similar types of model programs. And now we have programs all across the country. Thanks to the leadership of the Obama administration on this issue, there are federal funds for healthy food financing that have been given out to groups across the country. So those are the sort of lighter shaded states have some of those federal dollars there. And then the darker states are places that have their own state program. And actually, even since I created this map this year, the state of Ohio invested in a fund. So now Ohio gets to be a darkest shaded green. So we're excited about that newest program coming online. And there are advocates across the country working to get more of these programs, and Kim is going to talk a little bit about that advocacy work going on now. Before I turn things over to Kim to talk about that, I just want to highlight a little bit about our work with corner stores, because certainly getting a full-service supermarket into a community that hasn't had one for decades is an amazing win, and it's really exciting when that happens, but it can take years and years, and it's a multi-million dollar investment to get a new supermarket built. And there's work that can be done, in the interim or, alongside that work to work with the existing corner stores to get some fresh fruits and vegetables and healthy foods into those stores. So we are also doing that in Philadelphia and also doing that with partners across the country. Here you can see an example of one of the corner store conversions we've done. This is one of the more significant conversions. We work with a network of several hundred corner stores in Philadelphia and in New Jersey and Wilmington, Delaware, so all in the region where we are based. And they don't all have such a fancy display. We really encourage folks with corner stores to start small. Start by adding, we often start with four new products. So maybe it's, whole wheat bread and low-fat milk and a couple of new fruits. For many of these corner store owners, they've never had to sell perishables before, and so it's a big learning curve. It requires training. We have a marketing campaign that goes along with it to promote the healthier food, and so we really do a phased approach of starting small and then working up with the most committed owners. Here you can see a before picture what sort of a typical corner store looks like in Philadelphia and in many of the cities where we work. So, you know, lots of ads for not so healthy products on the outside and very few healthy products on the inside. And here you can see one of our conversions. Again, this is one of the more significant conversions. This is what we call a fresh corner. So we've helped the owner get this new equipment. This is a grant for the equipment. We don't do a whole lot with loans to corner stores. These are small businesses that really can't take on a whole lot of debt. But if you can help by getting the initial barrier to getting this equipment in, we find that the owners can sell the product and can make a profit on the healthy product. So in New Jersey, just to highlight one place where we're working with many partners to try to create a statewide healthy corner store initiative. So a lot of the work with corner stores has really been at the local level. And in New Jersey, we found that there were so many cities in New Jersey doing corner store work, Trenton and Newark and Camden. And there was an interest in coming together to try to create a statewide network. So we are sort of in the midst of that process. We've been funded by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and then we have a great partnership with the Heart Association as well. And we now have over 120 participating stores in New Jersey, in almost 20 cities across the state. And we have a task force that's come together to really look at best practices and to try to get some state investment in the program. Right now it's all philanthropic dollars funding that program, but we are working with the Heart Association to try to get the state to invest in the program. So looking ahead, there's been legislation introduced in the New Jersey legislature. We have a lot of support. We have a very tricky governor to work with right now in New Jersey around trying to get state funding, so we have our work cut out for us, but you know, we are cautiously optimistic. We have a lot of great partners, and the task force report is going to be coming out next month, actually, with its recommendations, and so stay tuned. We will keep you posted, but lots of great work going on.
So good afternoon, everybody. I usually have folks this late in the day stand up and stretch, and I won't do that because it takes time, but feel free to stand up and stretch because you've probably been going for a long time. So my name is Kim Milbrath. I'm the Southern Regional Campaign Manager for Voices for Healthy Kids. Voices for Healthy Kids is a collaboration between the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Heart Association to address childhood obesity through policy change, mostly at the state and local level. I'm not going to go too much into Voices because I really want to talk about the lessons learned that we've had around food access, so feel free to grab me after and ask any questions about the Voices program. I also have no disclosures to talk about. Voices has six areas that we focus on for policy change. I'm going to talk very specifically about the food access policy area where we focus on healthy food financing initiatives, as Miriam was saying, and corner store initiatives. Needless to say, this is just the first of two slides, this is a very, very popular policy area for folks to work on across the country. Voices for Healthy Kids has been around for about 3 years, and we have been funding mostly work that started in the South. We've seen a real burgeoning movement across the South to work on food access and one strategy to address obesity, which we all know is pretty significant in the Southern region. But you can see that we're really all across the country, not so much on the Western side of the country, but really have found that people care about this issue. They see it as a huge problem in their communities, and they're doing what they can to address food access. So I'm going to talk about, while you see all those grantees that we have there under Voices for Healthy Kids, I'm going to talk about some of the lessons that we've learned over the last 3 years working on this issue, predominantly in the South, but also certainly we've worked in close collaboration with the Food Trust and have learned a lot from the work that they've done in Pennsylvania and other areas in the Northeast. But the major kind of categories that come out, this is different work for public health. It really focuses on a world that we're not that familiar with, financing, and it really is about appropriations. We want to get funding for programs that will increase the opportunity for grocers and corner stores to be able to either build in places where there is low access or to improve the produce and the products that corner stores have. So it's really about being able to give money to fund these programs to help them build stores, to replace equipment. So that's also a tricky area for us in public health. We don't generally love to work on appropriations, and we found that there are some challenges in those campaigns. Around partnership, really key groups to bring to the table are grocers and corner store operators. These are the folks that can tell you, these are the challenges, as Miriam was talking about, that we're facing in being able to go into a neighborhood that maybe lost a grocery store years ago. Corner store owners can talk to you about the challenges that they have in moving produce. And there's a piece of education that those two groups bring to the table that we might not have known about otherwise, because we just don't focus on the grocery industry and what makes them go into a place or not go into a place. So really making sure those folks are some of the first folks you bring to the table. Secondly, around healthy food financing in particular, community development leaders. As Miriam talked about, this is a private-public partnership. And in many cases, community development financing institutions are that private entity when you're talking about healthy food financing. And they understand that world of development. They understand the industry and are able to kind of provide some insights into how to move that forward. Other folks you can see there, food and health movement leaders, local level elected officials whose towns maybe have lost a grocery store and are now seeing the ramifications of that in their work. I'm not going to get into too much detail, obviously setting clear expectations for everybody to know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and what everybody's roles are, and noting that there are some folks are not going to be able to do some of the lobbying that might need to be done for a campaign. So really recognizing that contributions are going to be different and they're going to vary. We've done some message research nationally under Voices for Healthy Kids. I'm not going to go into this just for time's sake, but I'm happy to talk with you all more about some of the messages that we've learned specifically around food access campaigns across the country. Your intuition to not use food deserts, right on. Don't talk about food deserts. Don't talk about obesity. These are not things that get people galvanized to work on our efforts. This is where I really want to spend just a few minutes, because for those of you who live in conservative states, like our great organizer, Broderick Baggert, who developed the Baggert rules for HFFI advocacy in states that fry their vegetables. He happens to be from Louisiana, where we are working on an HFFI campaign. This, I think, is really, really key. If you take anything away about doing appropriations work, the money is there. They're going to tell you it's not there. It's all about priorities and using political capital to get your priority at the top of the list. So you're going to hear your elected officials say, oh, we can't possibly fund a corner store program. We can't possibly fund an HFFI program. That's not true. They can. They just need to prioritize that over other priorities in a state. And so that's something to really keep in mind as public health folks, because we hear that all the time. There's not enough money to do this. There's not enough money to do that. We have to create the urgency and the priority for them to make those decisions. And that can be done by finding those five people in your state who have the keys to the treasure chest of your state budget and getting one of those folks on your side and really advocating and, like I said previously, using their political capital to get your issue at the top of the list. A couple things that are fairly intuitive. Play the outside game. Don't be so close. We oftentimes have sponsors of our work, policy work, that are the obesity representative or the obesity senator. They head all of our efforts. That's great, and we want that, but we also really want to be able to push our champions to and hold their feet to the fire to use their political capital to make these changes. And that's not something that politicians do easily. So being able to give them a little push to do that is very helpful. Getting into the package deal, understand your appropriations process, know it inside and out, and know who leads it, and make sure that you're understanding the timing of all that. Appropriations planning starts way before session ever starts. Agencies are starting to work on their budgets way before that ever have way before they ever get into session. And last but not least, is write a campaign plan and make sure you follow it. Here are some resources for us for Voices for Healthy Kids. You can go to our website to get toolkits, as Miriam talked about some of the resources the Food Trust has. PreventObesity.net is a listserv that you can get on and learn about the work that's happening. And then here's our information. And we'll be here afterward to talk more if you have any questions.